When I was a kid, my parents would sometimes bring me down to my aunt and uncle's place to stay for the weekend. Mainly, I'd spend time playing with my two cousins who were around the same age as me. They lived on a small farm with plenty of open space, and we could run around doing pretty much whatever we wanted. If we thought we could get away with it, the three of us would sometimes cross over to the neighboring farm about half a mile away. It had been abandoned for decades, with a scattering of derelict buildings and other structures still standing on the property, just begging to be explored. This was, of course, a gold mine for three adventurous young boys such as ourselves, especially after my cousins told me stories about the deaths that took place in the house. It was pretty classic fare. Man goes crazy, axe murders his entire family, hangs himself, returns every night as an angry spirit looking for new victims. Good, grisly stuff. Even at that age, I knew they were probably making it up, or at least embellishing old rumors. But seeing as how the setting lent itself so well to such tales, I allowed myself to buy into it. One afternoon, we decided to play hide and seek. When it was my turn to hide, I ran off for a flimsy brown barn that had living quarters on top and climbed the stairs looking for a good spot. There was still furniture inside, and personal belongings lay scattered across the floor. I maneuvered over broken dishes, tattered clothes, and crumbling books, eventually coming to a small room with a closet. Jackpot. There were even long black dresses still hanging on the rod that I could hide behind. I stepped inside and managed to force shut the folding door. My only illumination was a slit of sunlight that shone through the crack in the door from a nearby window. I crouched down with knees tucked into chest and waited. Some time passed, and there was still no sign of my seekers. I waited some more, debating if and when I should give myself up. After nearly an hour, this was starting to get boring. My head drooped. I awoke with a jerk. It was pitch black. Drowsy and confused, I forgot for a minute where I was or what I had been doing. As it came back to me, the realization that it was now nighttime and that I had been abandoned here filled me with sinking dread in the pit of my stomach. I tried to get up, but a sudden cramp in my calf kept me grounded. I squirmed about, waiting for it to pass, when I heard a door slamming shut downstairs and instantly froze. One of my cousins? There was a brief period of silence, then footsteps at the bottom of the stairs. But not just footsteps, a thud too. After every other step. These weren't the footfalls of a child. They were slow, heavy, deliberate. I held my breath, praying they would go away. They did not. The noises continued to ascend. After another moment of silence, the walking resumed. This time, along with a steady scraping sound, like something heavy being dragged across the floorboards. The footsteps made their way through the debris and wandered aimlessly through the various rooms. I thought I could smell something faintly putrid. The constant scrape sent cold shivers coursing down my arms and back. My worst fears were realized when the steps reached the bedroom doorway. They got closer and closer, and finally stopped directly in front of the closet door. I couldn't see a thing. After an agonizing pause, they continued on, over to the other side of the room and out the doorway again. They faded away down the hallway. I waited for what seemed like an eternity. There were no more sounds now, and I was trying to build up enough courage to open the door and flee. Three things happened simultaneously just then. I was bombarded with a smell I can only describe as fresh roadkill. I heard raspy breathing behind me in the dark closet, and I felt hot breath against the nape of my neck. That was enough for me to hurtle myself out from the confines of that nightmare space, relying on memory and scant moonlight to navigate through the darkened house. All the while, I heard footsteps chasing behind me, closing in with terrifying speed. It was a clumsy, torturous escape full of trips and bumps and blind stumbling. I never looked back. At least, not until I had burst out the front door and into the country night. And when I did turn around, I saw absolutely nothing. There were no more footsteps and nobody was chasing me. That didn't stop me from running, though, all the way back to my aunt and uncle's house. There was a police car in the driveway when I got back. My parents were there too, worried sick. Everybody demanded to know where I had been. Apparently, when my cousins still hadn't found me by evening, they'd returned home to tell their parents. Eventually, the police were called in and informed me that they had already scoured every building on the farm. The insinuation that I was lying about my whereabouts didn't go unnoticed. None of it made any sense. It wasn't until years later that one of my cousins filled in a final piece of the story. He and his brothers had spent hours searching for me, like they said, but the part they didn't tell anyone was that they thought they spotted me in the window of the bedroom I was hiding in. And when they got closer, they saw that it wasn't me. A young boy neither of them recognized was smiling and waving down at them and gesturing for them to come upstairs. That's when they ran back home. All of this while I slept in the closet. A few months ago, I was over at my friend's house down the block. In fact, that's where most of my friends on the block actually are. I'm 16 years old right now, the second oldest out of the group of kids down the block. There's Alan, who's 17, Dan, who's in the same grade as me but a little younger, Johnny, who's 14, Daniela, who's also 14, Nick, who's 13, and Tom, who's only 12 years old. There's a big age gap between some of us, but we're really the only kids on the entire block. Me and Dan were the closest friends, and we kind of just met all the other kids who lived around the area while we hung out originally. It started to become our Friday night tradition to play a big game of manhunt by Daniela and Nick's house. We don't live in a typical suburban neighborhood. Our area is a lot more spacious and overall has a lot less people and houses. And for that reason, there wasn't a lot going on in our area, but it also made the game that much more fun. It was our turn to hide first. I had three other kids on my team, but more notably, I had Dan on my team. Me and Dan both went next door to Mr. Nelson's old house. He was an old man who passed away a few years ago, and since then, no one has bought the house, leaving it vacant and a perfect property to add space for our game. Me and Dan went to the back section of the property by the lake, where we found a perfect hiding spot in some of his bushes. Dan, however, wanted to try something crazy and entered the vacant house through a sliding window. So I waited alone in the bushes. The goal of the game was to get back to Nick's house, which was always considered home base. A big part of the game is waiting. I was in those bushes for like 5 minutes, until I finally saw two kids from the other team entering the backyard looking for us. They were making a lot of noise, making their presence known. Once they left, the two of them continued even further down the block, giving us the perfect chance to run. I looked around at all the windows of the house, hoping Dan would be standing near one of them for me to wave him on. And when I looked up to one of the upstairs windows, I was relieved to see his head looking down to me. I waved him on, letting him know it's time to go. But he didn't move. Now I wasn't sure if he could see me. I went over to the window that he entered through, opened it, entered the house, and yelled up into the house calling Dan's name. I'm not even exaggerating when I say I felt like my heart stopped when I heard Dan's voice only a few feet away from me saying, "Dude, shh." I asked him how he got downstairs so quickly, and he just looked confused. He then told me he was sitting down here this whole time. At that same moment, we both looked up to the ceiling as there was a creaking sound coming from upstairs. We both hopped back out the window and ran back to Nick's house, where we called the game off. We went to ask Dan's dad if somebody had moved into the home, but he was positive that nobody had lived there for 3 years. Me, Alan, Dan, and Dan's dad all went over to the house where we entered the same way we had earlier. Dan's dad was familiar with the house as he used to be good friends with Mr. Nelson. He led the way upstairs into the bathroom with a window I had seen someone standing at. He flicked on the lights, and besides a crumpled up reddish-brown blanket on the floor, the room was empty. We went through the entire house and found nothing. Dan's dad really didn't know what to do from there, so he just said if any of us, including him, ever see anything or anyone in that house, we would report it to the police immediately. It's been a few months already and we haven't seen anything since, but I know that somebody, besides Dan, was in that house that night.